Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. I am happy to again be with you on this particular night. There are some good things I want to talk about, and hopefully, if you are listening, you will have a good insight on where we should be and what's going on. I really want to dive into this particular topic tonight because I feel this is important, and it's highly needed in this hour. And so before I get started, I want to just say a word of prayer. You know, gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, we glorify you. Father, we appreciate you, oh Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that in this season that we're in, oh Lord, as man see it, Father, that we fix our attention on something that's important. So, Father, I pray for every listener, oh God, those that have lended their ears to hear from you. Lord, we thank you, God, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, again, I want to, you know, thank you all for tuning in. I think it is needful in this hour people, you know, take an opportunity and hear some things that God is saying. Now, I picked a topic tonight. I will usually be talking about spiritual authority, but the Lord laid upon my heart to switch it up and to change it. And I always want to obey God. I never want to go against anything that the Lord was saying unto me. And I chose a topic covered in the blood, specifically because God gave me a message to discuss or to talk about or to give regarding the 10 plagues. And I feel like it's important in a sense to really let you all know what's happening and what's going on. But, you know, again, you know, he gave me a topic, and it was about the 10 plagues. And so I want to take a moment and just tell you what those 10 plagues are. But before I do that, we all know the story about the children of Israel leaving the promise, the land that was promised to them, and crossing over Jordan. And they did this without God's approval. As a matter of fact, he did not want them to go over into Egypt. He wanted them to stay separated from Egypt and stay where they were, because this is the land that God had promised them. But they leave anyway, and they go, and they mix with the Egyptians. And since it was so many, as it is written, the Egyptians felt threatened, and they made slaves out of God's people. Only because they had entered into a place where they should not have been. And so now they become slaves, and God knows these are his people. He had made a promise to Abraham, and he had given Abraham seed land. He had given them a promise. But they leave their promise, and they go to try to inhabit something else. You know, you look backdrop of what's going on here. And so throughout this, God raises up Moses, and Moses is raised up in Pharaoh's house, yet a Hebrew, and he's discovered, that there's something different about Moses, and Moses is ejected out of Pharaoh's house. He finds out he's a Hebrew, and Moses goes on this trip, and he runs into Jethro out in the desert. And as he's out in the desert, you know, he asked Jethro, speak to him about what's going on top of the mountain. And I'm just speeding up because I want to get to a certain point. And he goes, and he now has an experience. And so as he experienced God, he has to take off his shoes, because now he understands something, that he is in the presence of God, and that at this particular moment now, he has to recognize that his feet now has to be bare before God. His feet has to be bare before God. And so God speaks to him, as we know, through the burning bush, and he sends Moses on a journey. He has a mission, because God's people are in bondage. And if God's people are in bondage, God wants them delivered. Now, he can come down and just deliver them wholeheartedly, but that's not what he wanted to do. He's raising up Moses, right? There's a Moses, if y'all get where I'm coming from. There's a Moses being raised up right now, spiritually, in this time, and with a mission to lead God's people out. So now Moses now has this ordinance from God, is to go back to the house that he lived in, that he was raised in, to a man that he honored, but now he honors God more, and to tell him to let my people go. Now, obviously, Pharaoh wasn't going to do this. And so out of him not wanting to do this, he bucks up against him. And so I just want to give you a good example now. And so, but God tells Moses, and when he comes back, that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And now there are 10 plagues, and I want you to grab a hold of this now, because I'm about to get into the very topic of why God wants me to speak about this. 10 plagues. One plague dealt with blood. And so in Exodus chapter number 7, verse 14 through 24, just to give you a little backdrop, says that this is the Lord, this is what the Lord says: by this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hands, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. And the fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink, and the Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. Right? And that's the first one. The second one goes into Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 25. And it says this, because now this is what the Lord God says: let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs, and the Nile will teem with frogs, and they will come up into your palace and your bedroom and unto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into ovens and to netting trolls. And the frogs will go up on you and your people, all your officials. Now, the first two plagues are interesting now because, you know, now God is trying to free his people from bondage, but when he changes the water to blood, it not only affects the Egyptian, but it affects the children of Israel as well. God, I want y'all to hear me here tonight. I hope you're listening. And the second plague, with the frogs, had been now joined with those in the Nile, and it's not only affecting the Egyptians, it's affecting the children of Israel as well. Now, the third plague was lice or gnats, right? And so the Lord said, stretch out their rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all of the land of Egypt. When Aaron stretched out his hand, and when the rod had struck the dust to the ground, lice came upon men and animals and all the dust thereout throughout the land of Egypt became lice. The next plague was in Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 20 to 32. The fourth plague of the Egyptians were creatures capable of harming people and livestock. The Torah now emphasizing that the arad, or the swarm of animals, only came against the Egyptians and did not affect the Israelites. So the first three plagues, God included the children of Israel in this because they are only there because they disobeyed God. So the fourth plague did not affect them. For I feel the Lord, I feel the presence of the Lord. However, after the plague was gone, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he refused to keep his promise, right? And so now the fifth plague was the pestilence of the livestock, and this is what the Lord God of Hebrews says. He said, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague upon your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats, right? And so this was the pestilence of livestock. So the next one was a plague, you find in Exodus chapter number 11, verse 8 through 12. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handful of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So the sixth plague were the boils now. And so it's not dealing with being pesty with pests, or being attacked by animals, or your drinking water damaged, or frost. Now these boils are coming upon the people. Now the seventh one was the thunderstorm of hail and fire. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says, let my people go so that they may worship me, or this time I will send a full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that will wipe you off the earth, but I have raised you up for this very purpose. I'm almost dead. Listen to this now. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, all this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen upon Egypt from the day. And y'all know I'm not reading the King James Version. I'm just, just reading, my notes or whatnot. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen upon Egypt from the day it was founded till now, given an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will follow every man and animal that has been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. And the Lord sent another hail, a thunder and hailstorm and a lightning flash down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all of the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. The next one is locusts and them eating up the crops. The ninth one is the darkness of the 3 days. And so just for your reading, locusts is in Exodus 10. You find it in verse 1 through 20. The darkness of the 3 days in Exodus 10, 21 through 29. The death of the firstborn. Exodus chapter 11, 1 through 12. Chapter 12 and 36. Significant people. 10 plagues. Right? 10 plagues. 10 of them. And the interesting thing here is that we have not begun to see the very thing that God is doing. So, and now we've read that, and that was the plagues, and that was how God dealt with them. And so I want to fast forward you up to where we are today. For everybody that is listening, this is important. We are in a situation now among the land where a plague is coming. And God has released this plague, and some of us are not listening. But God has released this plague, and he is requiring something of his people. Now, the topic of this is covered in the blood, because I'm going to get to the part where the firstborn, because now it requires a sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been given, but I want to get this out here real quickly. The interesting part is is that the 10 plagues, the first three plagues, it affected the children of Israel as well as the Egyptians. The fourth plague on down to plague number 9 did not touch the children of Israel. So here we are in the U.S. I'm going to say some stuff. It's going to be controversial. I know it. I don't care. It is important to understand that we want to call the United States of America a God-fearing country. We want to call that. We want to speak for everyone and say that this is a God-fearing country. And then we want to classify everyone as Christians because they believe in Jesus Christ. And I don't want to play into the narrative that they have laid out here that this country is a country that has been developing and the people here love God. There are some people here that love God. I do agree. But this is not a God-fearing country. There is no way that we can hear the rhetoric that we got coming across television screens and public forum, private conversations about people that quote-unquote say they are Christians, and yet they're plotting to destroy their own people. That don't make sense. It looks like now that we have created a land where the people of promise have come and they've stepped away from their promise just to be a part of something. They stepped away from their promise just to be a part of something, and they find themselves in a situation. This is critical now, because all of our thoughts now have been driven to go to college, get the best job, go to college and work your life, you know, work in your life, do something you love, and that it's going to bring about the American dream. Again, now the topic now is covered in the blood. And so we've suffered now, the children of God, in the first three situations that have happened on the planet Earth in the United States of America, the believers have suffered when God has raised his hand up against the enemy. And the only reason why the children of God are suffering when God raises his hand up against the enemy is because we have tied ourselves too close to the enemy. We've gotten so close to the things that God did not want us to be a part of that if God do something against them, it wounds us. Again, the first three plagues, the children of Israel weren't separated from that, but the fourth plague, they were. And so now God has sent a message now that he wanted us separate from the oppressor so that he can deal with the oppressor and get us out of the situation that we're in. I hope y'all are listening to me here tonight. This is crucial. I see everybody, all the people that have called in and that are listening, you know, because I want you to take this message not just of where you are, but I want you to take this further to other people. And so we look at the land that we're in now, and some of us don't want to watch the news, we don't want to watch TV because it's depressing. We have possible impeachment of the president, we still have people shooting up malls, we still have children that are hungry, that are homeless people out there, we still have vets killing themselves, young people killing themselves, we still have folks stealing and folks robbing. And we think now for one moment now that the United States of America is a country driven by the love of God. It is not. We want to convince ourselves of this because we are a part of it. You know, we want everybody to receive the goodness of the Lord, right? But God is trying to separate us from them because he's about to bring the 10th plague. In order for him to deliver us from what we put ourselves in, I want you to grab this now. Some folks were born into this, and some of us, we continue to put ourselves in this situation of bondage. But in order for us to take the next step and get out, we cannot get out on our own. We cannot leave this oppressed place or the oppression of the hand of the people that we're under on our own. It's impossible. God has to do something to release us from the thing that has us bound. I want you to hear me now, because this is crucial. This is critical. And so, in order for him to do that, as you read, and if you go back and read the Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, God says something specific in here. He wants Egypt, the Pharaoh, the king of these oppressors, to let his people go that they may come and worship him. Because he wants to lead them back to what he had promised them before. And I want y'all to grab this now. It's not that you can't find your promise. Your promise was where you started. You just decided to leave your promise and chase something else. Your promise has never left the place that God has put it at. It's still there. You just have to go back and cross over Jordan again to go back, trace your footsteps backwards, and get to the promise that God had made Abraham or made you before you knew who you were. Covered in the blood. I'm going to show you now. I'm getting there. And so now, because of what's going on around us, we've gotten so captivated in watching the impeachment. We've gotten so captivated into what we call the Christmas season, because this is the time we buy gifts and we give and we do all these things, and we normally do it to family and friends and people that we love. But I want you to grab a hold of something here now, because if you go into the Word of God and we get to the book of Exodus, and so, book of Exodus, chapter number 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, that they shall take them a man, a lamb, according to the host of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now, he gets it because now we get into the feast, right? But the feast came from the actual God telling Pharaoh to let his folks go. And so this is the 10th plague. So the 10th plague is as I told you before, starts in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus, but it goes all the way through the 36th verse in the 12th chapter, right? And so now, we discover here that God gives Moses some instructions, and that he would tell Aaron to bring in a lamb, a turtle dove, or a bullock. And he told them to sacrifice them and to prepare an altar. And he gave them instructions on the inner parts of these animals and the outer parts. Now watch it. Now remember I said that Christmas to us is about giving or getting gifts from people that we love, family member, friends, you know, and so we may give gifts to what they call Secret Santa, you know, unknown, right? But we give gifts to those. And so here is where God makes a difference, because after he gives them instructions on what to do in reference to the bullock, the lamb, and the turtle dove, after they have slain and sacrificed these and poured or put the blood over the thresholds, this tenth plague would mean the death of the firstborn. And God said that Pharaoh would speak this out of his own mouth, and he did. And so the Lord says, when I see the blood over the thresholds over your homes, I will pass over. Death now will pass over. Watch it now, covered in the blood. So now, what does that have to do with where we are today? Nobody's going to go out here and sacrifice a lamb or a cattle or a bullock or a turtle dove. They're not going to sacrifice it and put blood on the threshold at home. They're not going to do that, because it wasn't for where we are now. It was for then. But I want to bring you the similarities of what covered in the blood means, right? Because a lot of people say I'm covered in the blood, but they don't know what that means. And some of them are not covered under the blood or in the blood of the sacrifice, Jesus Christ himself. Some of them are not, right? This is the very act of where God now is going to separate and cause the enemy to let us go. If you're in bondage, this is the day that God, when he says it, he's going to deliver you, because if you obey the instructions, the blood now is going to cover you. Death is surely going to pass over. Now, what's unique about this? And I want you all to grab this, and I said this before, this is a topic of conversation, and I'm going to say it like it was if I was talking to you. We are in this season right now where the 10th plague is on the way, but no one knows exactly what God had said or is saying to the one that is going to step up and say, release God's people. We don't know who it is, but that 10th plague is on the way, and it's coming to destroy the very essence of what makes a generation live. Because the man-child was the thing that keeps the generation going. And so, but there's something here in this generation that keeps it alive. But the enemy has spoken it against us. But God is about to turn this thing around. We're going into Christmas and a new year, and these are the things a lot of our minds are on, and we can't see the 10th plague creeping up on us. Our minds are worried about the wrong thing, and we can't focus in on what God is asking us to do and how we should cover ourselves in the blood. So let me, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me digress back into this again now. You know, because the conversation is, what are we doing now that can identify where we are in the midst of being free? Where are you right now in bondage? I don't want to ask why you're in bondage, but where are you right now? Are you at the brink of where you're tired of being in bondage, and you're kind of curious on what it means to be covered in the blood? Are you even concerned about the fact that there's something driving you to do things and you can't be free from it? Has this crossed your mind? Are you in this season that people have often talked about of not understanding or not even knowing what's going on around you? You're just existing. But dear hearts, I want to tell you there is something coming. And it's over the horizon. I've seen it. I see the shadow of it. And it is important that we are covered in the blood of the Lamb. Because this particular feast generates or starts something that has never been seen before. When God said cover the thresholds with the blood of a bullock, a lamb, a turtle dove, he also tells them, I want you to share this with your neighbor if they don't have anything. I want you to share what you have and sacrifice with your neighbor. Consume the meat. For all you vegetarians out there, you know, consume the meat. And God is going to pass over once he sees the blood over the threshold of your homes. Now, if I see the blood over you or in your heart, if I can recognize my blood on you, I'm going to pass over. Now, that means that if God is going to pass over you to let you live, everybody that is connected to the enemy now, that refused to let it go when he comes through to destroy them, you're going to fall prey to it yourself. Crucial, ladies and gentlemen. This is vitally important. Crucial that you take a moment now and do a self-evaluation to see if something has you in bondage. That's important right now. You know, no one knows that you called unless you told someone. No one knows exactly what you're going through unless you told someone. You know, but take this moment right now and find out what has you in bondage. Because God wants you free. He wants you delivered. He wants the hands of the enemy off you, that you may come into a place where you can worship him. I want you to hear me loud and clear now. God has made a place for you. He has prepared an opportunity for you, that you not get wrapped up in, and I won't say Christmas season, but everything that is happening around you with your children, with your family, with your friends, that you not get caught up into that, because he is trying to deliver you that you may come worship him. That's how jealousy is. Don't make no excuses. Don't throw up your hands. Don't try to sneak away. God is trying to summon you closer to him. Now I'm going to say some things, and I want you to grab a hold of this. And this is true now. You can go back and check the studies on this, and the Lord has been speaking to me about this for a while. And I had to go back and do some research to find out what God told me was true. And I shared this with a few people, and they know this. And so I'm going to share this with you all tonight. The last economic fall that we had, it affected everybody. It affected the children of God. It affected the people that are not the children of God, or the obedient children and effective disobedient children. So it put a lot of people in financial strain. When the economy failed, the housing market dropped. When the economy failed, there's a lot of other little things that happened while we were so-called participating in our everyday lives. I said this to a lot of you all that are on this call, and you all know this. And so when the market failed, jobs were cut, gasoline prices soared, folks are losing their homes, people were having to move in with family members because they thought they made a smart decision and buying a home on an interest-only loan. Wasn't a bad decision. They just didn't know how to work the loan. They had no idea that that loan was created to make it easier for them. So all these things took place. You know, folks losing their job, people jumping off buildings and shooting themselves or shooting the people that they work with because they lost their job. This is a plague. Y'all get what I'm saying? The next one is coming. God is trying to separate his people, the believers from the unbelievers. The next plague is coming. And he's separating the believers from the non-believers. So now listen to this next plague. It's going to look like the other plague, but more dangerous, more deadly. And it's already been spoken out of the mouth of a leader of what he would do to a certain amount of people. And that plague now is going to go back towards him. Y'all hear me now. I want to get this out to you very clearly. The only thing that is going to separate you as the position that you are in is that you have a vision from God and that he has placed you in an area where the well will not run dry. That God has placed you in somewhere where you are conducting business transactions and you are still in the position to draw from the earth and not wait on somebody to give you a paycheck. This now you're going to see God's people and those people that just say they believe. There's some instructions coming, ladies and gentlemen. Brothers and sisters, there's some instructions coming to let us know how we now survive and live through this next plague that's coming without it affecting us. So the whole night that we are dealing with being covered in the blood deals with one awesome fact that God has already warned that he was getting ready to do something. God has already sent a warning indicating that he was tired of folks mistreating his people. He's already upset with his folks leaving a place where he had promised them and them entering into a place where they became slaves. But only because he had made them a promise is he faithful to deliver that promise to them. Listen to me, dear heart. Only because God made you a promise, regardless of what route you have taken, will he pull you away from where you are and set you on a path because he promised you this. He didn't make this promise to anybody else but you. Whatever that promise is, God made that promise to you. And I want you all to grab a hold of that. This is critical. This is highly important. Because if the plagues are coming, and we're getting to the final one, once this final plague comes, God has an exodus he's going to make with you. He's bringing you out. Now, it's useless for me to tell you the plague is coming if I don't tell you how to navigate through this. Because this is the most important piece of tonight. For me to release to you how you navigate through this plague. But before I do that, I want to show you what's going to happen now. We have been operating on plastic as a country. Our credit limit has been blown up only because they evaluate how much money to spend based upon based upon the economic spending of a certain group of people, and that of the minorities. The minorities spend $14 trillion, then they're going to raise the debt limit to $14 trillion. If the minorities spend $16 trillion, they're going to raise the debt limit to $16 trillion. Because the debt in the United States is only measured by a certain group that spends. If the rich Caucasians don't spend money, then how they measure the economy? The economy only works based upon the minority spending money and constantly spending money. And so when the next plague comes, all these private sector jobs are going to reduce because the companies won't be able to sustain everything because people that have put a lot of money into their company is going to be asking for payment out of it, and it's going to dilute their shares. Their stock prices will be diluted. If it's strong, we add water to it, it's not going to seem as strong anymore. And because of that now, when the stock market falls, everybody that's attached to it, your 401ks, your IRAs, or stock you have individually purchased will become penniless. And every dime that you've invested into it is not going to mean anything. So the only businesses that did not suffer a downfall during an economic crisis were those people that were doing business with the federal government. Those are the only folks that did not suffer during this economic fall. Hear me now. And so I want to show you what's happening. Because of that, there has been an overflow of government contracted people are bidding on. Last year, it's been going up every year. We were at $980-something billion in government contracts. The first quarter of this year is about to come to an end. Government starts this quarter 1 October, and it ends at the end of November. So that's the first quarter of the fiscal year for the United States government. And it already has released that in this year of 2020, over $1 trillion will be spent on government contracts. That money has already been moved. So if the economy falls, they're not going at the government money because that money is sitting in the government, helps pay the government officials. They're not going to go home. It's going to pay all your elected officials that you have. So contracting jobs, the government jobs, are going to remain. Matter of fact, they may be even stronger. And so if you're not suited up with the United States government and working with them in some capacity, and you're in the private sector, it's the private sector that's going to hurt. Only because folks will pull their money out of these companies to have it to spend. Now, that don't mean anything to a small man because they got enough money to pull. But once the rich pull their money from the private sector of these companies, it's going to drive the stock prices down, and your 401k is going to turn to zero, which means that all the money that you put into this 401k, this IRA, will become zero. From an economic perspective now, if you don't listen to me, when this plague comes, it's going to pull you, suck you right on into it. And so God gave the children of Israel instructions on how not to suffer the death of the firstborn by putting the blood over the threshold. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. I believe right now this plague is coming. And before it gets here, the instructions are going to come to you to tell you Remove your money from the private sector. Remove your funds from the private sector, your investments from the private sector. Remove them from the private sector, because when it hits, it's not going to affect the federal government. It's going to affect the public sector. If you don't make that move, you will find yourselves in a bad situation. And God has already given instructions on how to avoid such a thing. The similarities between the two is that God was only interested in freeing his people, that they may come in the wilderness and worship him. Right now, God's only interest is to make sure that his people come away from being tied to the enemy, so that people will see that he's God and that he took care of his own. And they didn't suffer from what man had put out to destroy the middle class or the poor. Y'all hear me loud and clear now, because my heart burns with this one. There is, again, a plague coming. And you have to be covered in the blood, meaning not just saved, sanctified, filled. I'm not talking about that. I'm because sometimes saved folk do dumb things. You know, I'm talking about being able to hear the Lord right now tell you to pull your funds from the private sector, because they know at the end of this year, they are going to be dumping and pulling their money out of the economy. They're going to snatch all of their money out, and they're going to drive stocks down. They're not going to have a choice to do it, is because the federal government has used private money with like plastic. They not use their own money. They use your money as plastic. That's why Wall Street determines how high your stock goes or how low it becomes, because you have the private sector people that may be pushing in $1 million or $2 billion into a company, and it drives the stock up. But when that person wants that money out, it drives the stock down, because even though they bought the stock, it's a liability to the company. Because they know at any given time, this person can come and sell the stock, sell it back to the company, and now the company has to give up all this cash. It depletes their cash, and now they have to use credit, and they don't have it. So the best way they can do is start laying people off. If not laying you off, cutting your health benefits. If not cutting your health benefits, shortening your days. If y'all hear what I'm saying, this is going on right now. This is going on right at this very minute. And so it's critical now, because God says cover the thresholds, cover yourself in the blood. Today is not go kill a lamb or a turtle dove. Jesus was the final sacrifice. But what he did for us brings us wisdom and understanding. And now we have to stand under the covering of Jesus himself, the Spirit of the Lord, as he guides you and protects you through this process. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's about to get dark outside, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get crazy out here. And we're not prepared. We have not put proper time into working towards hearing from the Lord. We're more interested in the debates that's going on tonight, the impeachment of the president, buying Christmas presents and stuff. Our minds are on the wrong thing, and when we come out of this lull that we in, this sleepwalking mode we in, we're going to run straight into this plague that is going to cripple this nation. If the children of God don't make a move, I believe God wants you to do some things. And it's going to cause you to put yourself in a position that you may not want to be in. And I get it. I understand it. That's going to happen. But I want you to start thinking forward now. Lord, where is it that you want me to be? And don't buck against him when he tells you what he wants you to do. Don't come up with these garbage ideas and how we do things by saying, well, you know, that ain't what I want to do, but this ain't, you know, I don't know if the Lord wants me to do it or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Let's stop that. You sound crazy. Jesus now is ready to bring you out of a bondage or in a situation that you may be in. He's ready to do that. I'm excited about what he's ready to do, because he's going to lead you out. He's going to use the promise to do it. You're going to obtain freedom and safety. You're going to be released from it. It's going to be your exodus out of the place that you're in. He's going to have you ready to partake in the promised land. And it's going to affect the next generation because you're covered in the blood. The blood tonight is the promise that God made you. The blood tonight is God's promise to you. Take the promise that God had given you. Pull away for a few days so your spiritual ears can hear. And listen to the instructions that God has given you that will lead you into a place where when the plague comes, it's not going to have an effect on you. Dear hearts, this is where my heart and my mind is right now. Because this is crucial. This is important. And I want to go into a word of prayer. Because I believe it's that time. It's that time that we now consult with the Lord, like we should always be doing, and find out his direction for us. If you don't know what that is, now is the time to ask. Not to ask anybody that you know, but it's the time for you to get in front of God and say, Lord, what is it? How so, O God? So if you could, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. Father, because we know, because you told me the plague is coming. And you're issuing instructions, O Lord. If we obey, then we can hear and partake in what you are asking us to do, Father. And not only for us, but we'll find our neighbor and pull them in too so they don't suffer through what's coming. Lord, I pray for all of the wheat houses that are around here, what we call churches, where they're trying to pack people in like cattle, like droves, like wheat. Another barn. They're ready to build another barn to put more wheat in it. Father, I pray for these leaders, oh God, that their ears are open and they hear from you to know that they can give all of this up just to follow you. Because, God, really, all this belongs to you. So, God, we thank you, oh God. And, Father, I also send prayers to those that are sick, those that are suffering, oh God, those that need to be delivered, those that need to be set free. God, we pray for their deliverance and their freedom, oh God, because they would land in your arms and where you will care for them. And we bless you, oh God. Father, touch our businesses, oh God, so that we can hear more clearly, oh God, on where you want us to be and what you desire for us to do. Bless our families, Father. Oh God, bless your children right now, oh Lord, that are struggling in this season. We bless you, O God. And Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I surely appreciate you all logging in or coming on and listening. Tonight is really setting the stage not to be haphazardly waiting for the new year to come to make a resolution and make change. You don't have to wait for them to make change. You can make change right now. If you just take a moment to hear whatever the Lord has for you to do or to hear and move directly in that pathway, God is really going to bless you. He is seriously going to bless you. And I thank you all. I want to give a shout out to some people. One of my friends is a cook, a vegan cook, you know, and she is doing business down in Orlando. I want to give her a shout out. You know she wants me to mention her name or not, so I don't want to do that. I want to give a shout out to all the people that are doing business, you know, really that have made that decision and that are looking to hear from the Lord and move into that direction, because it's critical. It's very important in this hour. I want to thank everyone as we move forward and do the things that God has allowed us to do. I want to thank you for your prayers. And especially if God is giving you something to do, I impress upon you to move swiftly into that area, because if you do it now, the plague is coming and you'll be covered in the blood. For this season, you should be ready. Amen. God bless you all. May heaven smile upon you. And I look forward to speaking with you next Thursday, which is the day after Christmas. And I haven't decided if I'm going to do a show or not, but we'll make a decision about that. And if we do it, I will definitely send you an invite. If not, then, you know, we're going to go into the new year without doing a show. But, you know, that following Thursday is January the 2nd, and we're going to kick it off with a bang. Amen. God bless you all. Good night.